Welcome to the Vintage Faith Podcast. We are a Foursquare church based in Culver City, California. We're committed to taking care of our community through the teachings of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is to encounter God, equip the church, and love the city. Expect to hear sermons from our senior pastor, Matt Kladnick, as well as our guest speakers. For more info, check us out at vffchurch.com.
Good morning, everybody. How do you like this? We got construction going on. Demo day. My name is Matt Kladnick. Welcome to Vintage Faith. If you are alive and well, say hey.
Hey.
If you're not alive and well, say we'll pray for you. I'm sorry you're not feeling well. I'm excited to be here with you today, though, and to start preaching. And as you take in all the new surroundings, don't you love the decorating? You know, we got a shop vac over here. Can I pray real quick? Prayer always helps, and Lord knows I need it. Jesus, thank you for this morning, and thank you for the chance to meet with you. God, I pray that you would speak to each of us. God, that you would work through my notes and my thoughts, that they would be the topics that are most important and on your heart for us. God, I thank you for every person that's here, every heart that's beating, every mind that's spinning. God, would you meet them right where they are? Would you speak to their hearts, speak to their minds? We pray that you would start to construct in us new things, things that come from you, things that are from you and for you. God, and that you would help us to walk in the grace that we need, that you'd help us to walk in the power that we need. We surrender this time to you, and we just kind of say, God, for the next 30 minutes or so, we need to hear your voice. And there are so many things competing for our time and our attention, but right now we just say, God, would you speak to each of us, every single person here? Amen? Amen. A lot of people spend a lot of time getting the church all ready for us today. I can't wait to hear from all of the kids who went upstairs. And after church, go ahead and do this. Go check it out and see all the new room. It looks really great. They painted, they made all these upgrades. The kids are so spoiled. And soon you'll be spoiled. But until then, they're going to be spoiled upstairs. It's really, really great. Our junior hires have their own room now. Did I hear we have 13 junior hires? 13 sixth graders? That's ridiculous. Thank you, McMillan's, for providing three of the 13. You've done more than your part. Thank you very much for that. But we have all these junior hires, and so we're super excited that they are going to start meeting Jesus, and that at a young age, their lives are going to start to be transformed and renewed, that hopefully God will do something in such a way that they'll avoid some of the things you fell into. Can I get an amen? Wouldn't it be nice if some of our junior hires didn't do and repeat some of the things you did? Parents, I'm looking at you. Wouldn't it be nice if our kids were able to avoid some of the pitfalls that you and I fell into? That they would learn at a young age that God has a purpose and plan for their life, and they can start walking in it sooner than later. Over the last several months, I've really enjoyed listening to some of the guest preachers who were here. And so, man, thank God that God has given us some really great people. So there's just a couple people I wanted to mention. Special thanks to Rick for holding it down. We had Pastor Mary in the house. We had Hillary preached and Ayla preached and Hillary, Ayla, Grace preached. My boss, Dennis, preached. Thanks for not throwing stuff at him. And my friend Eric came and preached. And Doug Levy preached and Matt McMillan preached. You know, I think you guys have been spoiled so much with all of our guest preachers. Today we start a brand new preaching series called Under Construction. Can you say under construction? How many of you want God to construct something new in your life? Okay, by a show of hands, how many of you want God to construct something new in your life? Okay, put your hand down. How many of you are okay with God deconstructing something in your life? Okay, a little bit fewer hands, right? We all want God to build something in our lives, but we don't all want God to destroy something in our lives. When it comes to construction, there's the rebuilding of something new, but there's often the destruction of something old. We all want the new thing, but it's very hard to let go of the old thing. Can't God just build on the foundation that I had before? No, he doesn't do it. Because any good craftsman knows it is really hard to build on an old foundation. Because what was true, what was right, what was level to the old builder is often not what is true, what is right, what is level to the new builder. God wants to build something new in your life. Let me tell you some of the new things he wants to build so you can get ready. God wants to build in you new levels of integrity. I know, three amens, okay. God wants to build new levels of bravery. God wants to build new levels of patience. God wants to build new levels of faith and hope. He wants to build new things. But in order for God to build new things like those in your life, he has to destroy something that was old. I don't know about you, but can God just dump on me some brand new qualities and leave all the old stuff? He's a good, good father. And he doesn't like to just heap on us new things without alleviating some burdens along the way. I know it'd be so much easier. But God wants to rebuild you. He wants to renew you. He wants to refresh you. He wants to update you. From my experience, though, when God wants to build something new in us, he first needs to demolish something that's old and unnecessary. And we've got to be ready to go through that process. See, on one hand, there's the excitement of something new that God wants to build. And on the other hand, there's the grief and the sorrow of losing something that you've found your hope in for a long time. It's a little bit hard to navigate the excitement of something new and the challenges of letting go of something old. We're building a new stage here, as you can tell. No, I didn't get shorter. The stage is just gone here. And the stage that was here was really nice, and the stage was built for a purpose, and it was built by people who knew what they were doing, and they had a vision in mind for the type of stage that they wanted. But for us, we needed to make some changes. But because of that, the stage has to get a little bit higher. Now, this is what we could have done, and maybe this is what we should have done, is we should have just added 4 inches onto the existing platform. Wouldn't that have been easier? That's less wood, less material. Just add a couple inches. No big deal. We could have done that, but the stage that was made for a purpose, and the stage that was made had potential in mind, but the stage that we needed has a new and a different potential and a new and different purpose. So you have to destroy what was old to build the thing that's new. See, this is the thing that God wants to do in you. He wants to upgrade your life, but in order to upgrade your life, he has to demolish something that you loved and you've enjoyed and you've become comfortable in. Yeah. We all want God to do the new thing. Man, what is the new thing you want God to do in your life? Can you just think for a second? Imagine, dream with me for a second. What is the new thing you wish God would bring to fruition in your life? What does that look like for you? More peace. Maybe you want to forgive somebody that you've been not forgiving, or maybe there's an addiction that you've had for a long time that, man, you'd really love to walk away from. What is it for you? What is the new thing that you think God would like to build in your life? I'll give you my list if you're not going to tell me what yours are. I want to have more integrity. I want to have a more Christ-like character. I want to be more patient. I'm so not patient. I want to be kinder, more thoughtful, more generous, more compassionate, more present. But in order for any of those things to happen in my life, something old's got to die. Yeah. We all want the new thing, but we don't want to let go of the old thing. We sang a song earlier. The line was, great are you, Lord. Super easy to sing that when everything's great. I'll sing great are you, Lord, all the time when everything is great. But as soon as everything turns bad, I almost use a different word. As soon as everything turns bad, it's hard to sing, great are you, Lord, when it all crumbles around you. Christian maturity, which you and I are all aspiring towards, gives us greater capacity to sing, great are you, Lord, in every season of life. In the have and in the have not. And in the down and in the up. When you're in the dumps, when you're in the valley, when you're in the mountaintop, you can sing, great are you, Lord, as you mature in your faith. But tell you what, I'm not there yet, are you? I can sing, great are you, Lord, when I get really crappy news all the time and not mean it because they're just words. But I want to grow in these ways. Don't you? That you would have greater integrity in your life and greater character. Did you be more authentic, more real with people around you? I think this principle is true for us. The idea that something old must die in order for something new to happen. I think this principle is true for us. You've all had the tools you needed to get where you are today, but now God is calling you higher. Now God is revealing more of your purpose. And now God is giving you bigger dreams for your life. Some things need to be demolished so that God can establish the new, the better, and that you can walk in the purpose that he has for your life. So the sermon today is for anyone that is ready and willing for God to start new construction in their lives. Is that you? Are you here today and you want God to start new construction in your life? If you have a Bible, and hopefully you do, because it will not be on the screens in front of me, no matter how hard you look, there will be no scriptures there today. But if you have a Bible or a phone, we're going to be in the 1 Peter chapter 2. If you want to turn there, I'll join you there in a minute. 1 Peter chapter 2, it's at the end of your Bible. We'll be there in a minute. Many, many years ago, I took a job to do some construction work. And so I was doing some part-time work at a bank, and I got the opportunity to do some construction work. And the job I was going to work on was actually for Tim James, who's not here right now. But Tim and his wife, Jean, were going to add a second story to their house in El Segundo. So their contractor got a hold of me and said, "Would you like to work with me?" And I said, "Sure." I said, "I don't really construct. I don't really know what I'm doing." Like, I had to go buy a hammer to show up to the first day on the job. And nothing is as cool as showing up to the work site with all the guys, and they're so manly, and their hammers are dirty and scratched. And I just took the plastic off of my shiny hammer, and I'm like spinning it around my finger, and I'm walking up, and I'm like, "Are we here to work, guys?" And I have a tool belt on that I'm not wearing it right. I don't know what I'm doing. I didn't look the part at all. But I showed up to the work site, and I thought I'd just move bricks around from one place to another. I was just going to be the grunt doing all the remedial tasks because I literally don't know what I'm doing. I just knew I had a cool hammer now that I bought for $11.99. So excited about my new hammer. A couple weeks into the job, the contractor comes up to me and he hands me the blueprints to the project. And he says, "Matt, I want you to take the blueprints home and I want you to look over the blueprints. And when we come meet together Monday, show up half an hour early, I want you to describe for me what you see on the blueprints." Sounds easy, right? So I went home and I unrolled the blueprints and I laid them out on the table, and the lines and the pictures meant absolutely nothing to me. What in the world was I looking at? Where do I even start? What is this exactly? I didn't even know what to do with it. And he told me he wanted me to find out exactly where are the new footings to go so that the foundation can be fortified so that they can build up. That was the mission. Take a look at the blueprints. Tell me where the new footings go. So I had to look through all these paperwork, and I don't know what the lines mean. I don't know what the dashes mean. I didn't know what the scale of everything was. And it really hindered me from moving forward. On Monday, I came back and I sat and I tried to show him exactly where things, and he enlightened me to read the blueprints for what they really were, so I knew what was going on. And once I knew the process of the remodel, I felt way more comfortable moving forward. You will not feel comfortable moving forward in the growth that God has for you if you don't understand the process ahead of you. If you don't understand the journey that awaits you, it's really an exciting, fun journey. But if you don't understand the steps along the way, you, like me, will be inundated with all the change and you won't want to take one step further. I'm so thankful that God's word doesn't leave us empty when it comes to blueprints to growth. God's word actually has a really step-by-step plan of what it looks like for you and I to grow into the new things God has for us. I hope the scriptures we look at today are going to give you a little bit of hope for your journey, because you're going to know what step one looks like, and you're going to know what step two looks like, and you're going to know, as a good preacher, what step three looks like. Can we look at the scripture today? It's in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. "As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." These words were written by Peter, and actually last week you heard a little bit about Peter. Peter, more than maybe anybody else, had this really keen vantage point that the church was more than a building, that the church was a people. If you don't remember the story in Acts chapter 2, it's Peter who rises to the occasion to deliver the first sermon of Pentecost, and he does so by coming outside the door of the room that they were in and preaching the good news of Jesus to 3,000 people just outside, and seeing these 3,000 some people from all around the place putting their faith in Jesus. Peter knew unlike you and I, that the kingdom of God doesn't look like just a building. It's not encapsulated by walls and windows and brick and wood, but the kingdom of God, the advancement of the kingdom of God, his church, it's really people. It's you. Like, you are the church, right? You are the people that God has chosen to do his work here on earth. And Peter knew it more than anybody else. And he also knew that it wasn't going to be easy to be God's people on mission in a chaotic world. And so Peter writes to the dispersed Christians, and he gives them some advice on what does it look like for you to honor God in a chaotic world. Do you need advice like that too? What does it look like for you, Nidel, to honor God in a chaotic world? What does it look like for you, Jerry, to honor God in a chaotic world? What does it look like for you, Steve? What does it look like for you, Jose? What does it look like for you, Emma Hall? What does it look like for all of us to honor God in this chaotic world? Well, it looks a little bit like the scripture we just read. And the first step to growing into the person that God has called us to do is really easy. And it's the one we miss all the time, to simply come to him. Verse 4, it says this, as you come to him, as you pursue Jesus, as you come to meet with Jesus. We should be always coming to Jesus all the time. And it's obvious, but it's a step we neglect too often. The first step to God building something new and amazing in our lives is that you first come to him. I think that many of us would rather God force change on us. But it doesn't seem like God forces change on us. God doesn't sweep into our lives like Miley Cyrus on a wrecking ball. God is a gentleman who gently pursues us. I wish it was the other way around, where God just forced change on me that I couldn't fight it. It'd be easier that way. But God is a gentleman, and he waits to be pursued. He waits for us to come to him. I had lunch with Jeremy this week, which was really fun. He took me to a fancy Italian restaurant with cloth napkins. Way different than my usual lunch appointment. Usually it's Taco Bell. While we were talking, Jeremy, we were talking about going to the dentist, right? We talk about really spiritual things when you're with me. I hate going to the dentist. I really do. Like, just talking about going to the dentist gives me anxiety right now. Don't you know the feeling of something's wrong in your mouth? Okay, I have like the worst teeth in the world, I think. But you know that feeling of when you eat something, you're like, oh, that hurt. That wasn't right. Or you bite on something, you're like, oh no, that happened. Something's not right. Something's not right. Wouldn't it be nice to call your dentist and just say, hey, my dentist, by the way, his name is Dr. Rad. I'm just saying. His name is so awesome. Some may say his name is Rad. Wouldn't it be nice if something's wrong in your mouth and your teeth and something's wrong and you can call your dentist and you say, hey, listen, this is going on. I was eating popcorn and, well, this happened. And the dentist says, yeah, well, I think just go to bed and you'll probably wake up. It'll be better. Wouldn't that be great news? I'll bill you anyways, but it'll just get better. No, this is what's going to happen when you call your dentist and you say, I've got a problem with my teeth. The dentist is going to say, when can I see you? I need you to come in. I need you to sit down. And not only do I need you to come in and sit down, I'm gonna need to take a look inside your mouth and see what the problem is. We want to just phone to God and say, God, would you fix this? This is clearly not right. Will you just fix it? And just instantaneously he fixes it. But we have to come to him. We have to make ourselves available. We have to give him access into our lives in order for change to actually happen. I wish it was easier. I wish I had Grace's teeth. Grace, can I out my wife in front of all you? No? Okay, I won't then. Grace has never had a cavity, people. I know! Can you just give us the teeth anointing, all of us? Just put your hands out, just receive the anointing for no more cavities in Jesus' name. But Grace went to Dr. Rad, and he's like, honey, your teeth are beautiful, they're amazing. That's his accent. She doesn't have any cavities. She has, oh, just so upsetting. So, Justin, I pray, I say, Lord Jesus, give Polly, Mabel, and Annie Grace's teeth. Amen. Save me so much money if you would do that. But wouldn't it be nice if you just call your dentist and be instantly fixed? It doesn't work that way. Wouldn't it be nice if you just called God and say, instantaneously fix this, and it just worked like that? But salvation happens in a moment, but sanctification is a process. And sanctification is a journey that you have to go through. And you must be transparent, open, and available in order for sanctification to really take place. Super cool to come to Jesus and give your life to Jesus. Really difficult, real challenging. It's a journey to be sanctified, to be changed, to be transformed from the inside out. We've got to give God access to our lives. We've got, I might stand on something. You got to give God access to the parts of your life that are the most broken in order for healing to take place.
Yeah, right.
I couldn't even go and sit in the dentist chair and just describe to him my feelings. He's going to want to take a look at where the pain is coming from in order for healing to start to take place. See, we're really good at taking one or two steps to Jesus, but he wants full surrender of everything. He needs full access. Amen. And it can be really scary to come to Jesus if you don't know his character. I get that. But let me tell you what scripture tells about who Jesus really is. And this is in Matthew chapter 11. It says this. It said Jesus' words. He says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. Does that sound a little bit like you? Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am angry and mean and resentful. No, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest. Come to me, everybody who is overwhelmed. Come to me, everyone who's broken. Come to me, everyone who is suffering, and take my yoke upon you, and you will find rest. Real rest, the kind of rest where you go, ah, that kind of rest. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Step number one towards God building in you the things that he wants to build in you is you must come to him. Everyone say, come to me. Number two is embrace the process. And in verse 5, we look at this, and let me read it to you. It says, you yourselves, like living stones, are, listen to this, are being built up as a spiritual house. It doesn't say, and you yourself have been built up, or you yourselves might be built up. You yourselves are being built up. It's a journey. My life with Jesus has been a journey, and it has had great moments and disastrous moments. There's been highs to my journey with Jesus. There's been lows. There's been significant doubts, and there's been unquestionable faith. It's been a journey. The construction around here, it's gonna be messy sometimes. If you didn't notice when you came in, it's a little dusty in the room. Maybe you picked up on that. A lot of people worked real hard to clean it up today, but when there is construction, there's a little bit of chaos around. There's a little bit of disheveledness going on. Things are not exactly as you planned. Matt Benware, every project you've been on, has any project ever worked out exactly as you had planned in your mind? Matt McMillan, has any project you have outlined, has it ever worked out exactly like you had in your mind? Jeremy, hasn't every project you've worked out, has it happened exactly as you happened in your mind? There is always this room that things are going to happen that you didn't expect, you didn't plan, you didn't even want. There's going to be something that happens in the construction of life that will cost you more than you expected, that'll take more time than you wanted, and it'll be more impactful than you ever could have imagined. For example, I know this guy who's getting some work done on their kitchen, and they had to open up the floor. And when they came back from their vacation, they found that new residents with long tails had migrated from the bottom of their house into their bedroom, and they decided to defecate all over this person's clean shirts in their drawer. I'm not going to give any names. That's my house. That's what happened. Sometimes construction has those moments. Ideally, rats didn't invade my house and poop on my stuff. Ideally, that wasn't part of the plan, Matt Benware. We didn't plan for that to happen. Let me see, on day 3 of constructions, we've got rodents entering. They should be here between 3 and 5. They gave us a 2-hour window. Nice of them. They will first start by pooping on Matt's clothes and then on Grace's clothes. That wasn't part of the plan, but sometimes new construction is going to go through twists and turns that you don't want, you didn't expect, but there's something there that the process is going to refine something in you that must be refined because things get difficult. I know. I said defecated. I'm just thinking of words you don't hear in church very often. That's one. Now you've heard it twice already. we're good for the year. When I became a Christian 22 years ago, I thought my life would be radically changed, and it was. But you know what? For 6 months, I really held on to a lot of the old stuff. For the first 6 months after I came to Jesus, I put my faith in Jesus, but my behaviors were still in this old life. But I had this growing conviction that God had something different from me than where I was, that who I currently was wasn't everything that God wanted me to be. And I started to feel the tension of who I was and who God had called me to be. I start to feel the tension, the strain of all of that. I tell you what, because of the strain of that, you have to think, I know God could do it. God could have healed me of every addiction. God could have healed me of every ounce of shame. God could have taken away all the guilt. God could have done all of it in a moment, just snap, boom, new person. God could, and he does. But you know what is kind of beautiful, looking back, is I had to navigate that really rough road of letting go of things, of healing, of forgiveness, of letting go of my shame. I had to have hard conversations with people that I cared about. I had to navigate that road. But you know what? Looking back, I'm so glad that that road took me a while and it's taking me a while because I'm fortifying a relationship with Jesus on the journey that I could have never got if he just healed me instantaneously. I've got rapport with Jesus through the hard times, which gives me hope for the future and the good times, right? I know some of us want to fast forward the healing process. You want to get from your brokenness to complete healing and freedom instantaneously. But God sometimes wants to take us on a journey because at the end of the day, the journey, the process, the relationship that you forge with him is more important than the destination.
Come on, man. That's so good.
Embrace the process. And number three, and lastly, walk in the new purpose that God has for you. The scriptures tell us this, that you are being built up. You're being built up as a spiritual house and to be something different than you used to be. God is building in you so that you can be a holy priesthood. Raise your hand if you're holy. No, don't. But God is building us up to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. There's going to be a time for you to walk in the new things that God is doing in your life. If you want to be more brave, you're going to have to be more brave. If you want to be more patient, you're going to have to start being more patient. If you want to be more courageous, you're going to have to do more courageous things. If God's going to build something in you, he means for you to inhabit that new thing he's building in you. Not just so you have a new wing to your house and look how brave I am from the exterior. You got to walk in it. And God wants you to be a holy priesthood. Look at your neighbor and say, you look holy.
You look holy.
Say it, not so much of a question mark, but you. God sees in you someone with pure intentions, though you feel like your intentions are far from pure all the time. While on vacation, I binge watched some shows. Let me tell you one of the shows I watched, Gold Rush. Has anybody seen Gold Rush? How fun is that? I watched like different seasons. There's the one where they're getting gold off the floor in Alaska or something. They bring up the gold. And then what's cool about this gold mining, gold dredging, at the end of the season, they've got this pile of gold and they need to find out its true value. All the sifting they can do, all the testing they can do, all the things they can do to try to get all the impurities out, what they eventually have to do is they have to heat it up really, really, really hot. And what happens is the impurities burn off. The impurities rise to the top and they're scraped off so that the pure gold remains. God sees you in all of your purity and all of your imperfections. And when the temperature raises in your life, you're not supposed to run away from the temperature raising in your life. We should embrace the fact that the temperature is raising and God is at work removing impurities out of your life so you can be a holy representation of who he wants you to be. But here, this is what happens when the temperature raises up and things get really hot and the pressure comes in on us. We go, oh, that's too much. I'm going to take a sabbatical for a little while from church. I'm going to not going to talk to those people that seem to push those difficult moments in my life. I'm going to withdraw a little bit. Things are getting really hard. I'm going to withdraw. And if you know the people that withdraw from difficult conversations, people that withdraw when things get hard are people that aren't growing into the likeness of Jesus very much, are they? They seem to be repeating history over and over again and circling around the old things over and over again. And doesn't it upset you? And you're like, could you just deal with this? If you just deal with it, if you just face up to this, I think God is going to do something miraculous where you're not going to have to repeat the same thing over and over again. Holy. A set apart people. That's what God has called us to be. Are you broken? And are there parts of you that you wouldn't classify as holy? Of course. But are you growing in holiness? Yeah, you should be. That's part of the process that God has each of us on. Okay, if you don't believe me, look at your life 3 years ago. You better be looking better than you did 3 years ago. Maybe not on the outside, but on the inside. But on the inside, haven't your convictions changed in 3 years? Huh. If not, we'll talk afterwards. But haven't your priorities shifted a little bit in the last couple of years? Hasn't your intimacy with Jesus, hasn't it grown a little bit deeper in the last couple of years? I really hope so. Or else you may be one of these people that it runs up to a difficult time and you just withdraw. And you are getting really tired of running into the same wall over and over again. And it is just a matter of time before you hit that wall and you retreat and you never want to come back and deal with it again. But God wants you to walk in a new purpose. And it is a purpose that you would be a holy priesthood and that you would offer spiritual sacrifices. It is my joy to give to God what is truly his in my life. And it is my joy to give to him all the honor and all the praise and the glory because I know, and you should know about this too, that it's only because of him that any good thing has happened in my life. Growing in your relationship with Jesus gives you more of a passion to extend the praise, not to yourself, but to him. That you would offer spiritual praise back to God by the words and the things you say and the things that you do. Let's come to the close here. But this is what Peter says. This is his description of you and I. He says this in verse 9. But you are a chosen race. A different translation says you are a chosen people. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession that you, this is our job, this is my job, this is your job, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You see, once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. If you want to learn how to walk in the promises that God has given you, it's time to start declaring the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his light. If you don't know where to start, how am I going to walk in the promises God has for me? It's easy. Start declaring the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his light. That's the first place to start. And as my throat closes down, the band will come up. The next couple of weeks, we're going to be doing more construction. There's going to be things torn down and things built up. And it's a great reminder for each of us what God is currently doing in your life. Right now, this very second, God is building in you something new, and he is mindful of tearing down something that's old. Can you think about those two different things in your life right now? What is one new thing you long for God to do in you? And what is one thing that you think God would love to take a sledgehammer to in your life? It can be something big. It can be something small. I think we all have one of these things we're dreaming for and one of these things we need to let go. Can you picture that? We're stretching for one thing that God has for us while at the same time needing to let go of something that's hindering us from moving forward. We're clasping with one hand and we're letting go with another one. I want you to be mindful of that tension in your life because I believe that as we come to Jesus, he is faithful to build and destroy as he sees fit, and I trust him. Don't you? Will you stand with me?
Yes, Jesus. Can we just take a second? And I just want to encourage you, as I was looking at this construction and hearing Matt's word, there's areas of my heart and in my life I feel like is a construction zone a little bit. It's a little ugly. We purposely left this stuff out today. Matt, the contractor, said, do you want me to put everything away? I said, no, I want us to really see, because you don't get to see all week long what's happening in this room. It was much worse, believe me. I wanted to leave all this stuff out. And I just had a sense that maybe some of you might feel like I feel like there's areas of my life that I don't really want anyone to see. I have a room in my house that when you come to visit, I won't let you go into because I put everything in there before you got to my house, right? Does anybody else have a room or a closet or a drawer? Okay. Or maybe a whole floor. I don't know, but there's areas that we want to hide. And it's getting easier and easier for you to hide. And you see this, and maybe even you're filled with a little bit of anxiety because you're like, oh my gosh, can you clean it up, guys? This makes me uncomfortable. And I just got this sense that, first of all, God sees the room. He sees it when you put it under the rug. He sees it when you lie and you say you weren't at that place or you weren't looking at that thing, or he sees it. And there he is with this gentleness, asking you to come close, not to expose you to people, but that area would be exposed to him and he could bring healing to it. And we're saying, faithful are you, God, that your promises are yes and amen. His promise is that he is changing you from glory to glory, that he wants to come in and reconstruct. He wants to come in and build up and redeem and renew. That is the promise for your life. He comes gently. He comes with love. He comes with care. But believe me, he comes to reconstruct. He does not want us looking the same as once we once did. That's the gospel. If it was just come to a faith in Jesus and everything stays the same, what good was that, guys? He did not die for you to come and sing a song on a Sunday morning. He came that your life would be radically changed. He came that you would truly be set free. And so if that is you, and you just say, you know what, Grace, there are areas in my life that I want to be set free. I want it to look different. And I just got this sense from the Lord. He said, Grace, it looks worse before it looks better sometimes. It looks worse before it looks better. You get the privilege that you get to see it looking bad like this, not these beautiful people, but the way that this room looks, you get to see this because, and then it's going to be even more when you come and it's beautiful and you're like, but I saw what it looked like. That's how God looks at you. Man, I saw you in your weakest moment, in the darkness, in the ugliest parts of you. And look what I'm doing. He doesn't see that. He sees what you're going to be. He sees the beauty that he's making in you. Come on. So if that's you and you would just say, Grace, I want to stand here and I want to say before the Lord, Lord, I want you to come into the darkest areas and I want you to bring healing and I want you to rearrange. And I get that it looks ugly, but I want it to be exposed to the light because God, in your light, it's such goodness and it's such kindness. You guys, you're not coming with a sledgehammer and knocking walls down that don't need to be knocked down. You're only knocking down the things that need to be knocked down and the things that need to be arranged. So if that's you, why don't we just close our eyes before the Lord and raise your hands before him if that's you and you'd say, that's me, God. There's darkness and there's areas that I'm hiding from you and everyone else, but really, God, you see it. And right now, let's just take a moment. Come on. Come on. Do you want to be set free? Do you want to be free? Not walking in that shame, not walking in that darkness. I see very specifically forgiveness. There's something you need to forgive and you don't want to let go of it because you feel like it gives up your right to be right. And I just see the Lord say, would you just give it to me? Let me bring healing. Come on, take a moment with him. This is you and Jesus. Jesus, I give you this darkness. I give you this fear. I give you this shame. I give you this sin, this thing I keep going back to over and over again. I give it to you, God. Help me to let go. Help me to trust you, Jesus. And I pray right now, Holy Spirit, you would come with your sweet, gentle touch. That not only in a moment, I know you set us free, but God, you would help us and equip us and empower us to step into that freedom, letting go of what is behind and looking to you and running towards you, Jesus. Because all of your promises are yes and amen. You have good things for us, God. Help me to trust that. Help me to believe that. Thank you. We would love to pray with you before you leave. If that is something you just, I need to confess this to someone to be set free. I need to receive prayer. We have a prayer team up here. We would love to pray with you. But Jesus, we just say thank you that you love us so much that you don't want us to stay in darkness, in fear, in sin. You want us to be free. And come on, as you are free, you're going to lead others into freedom. Amen. That thing that you are so afraid to say, there are other people around you that are drowning in it. And maybe, just maybe, you are the voice. You are the person to say, hey, follow me as I follow Christ. Yes. Jesus, we love you. Thank you, God. Amen. Amen. We just love you, Lord. You guys are amazing. Good job, Matt. He's back. If you want to get plugged in, if you want to know more about how to be known in this church, you can go to the Hub and get some cookies, get some coffee, say hey to somebody. And what do we always say every week? Why don't you go and be the church? Love you guys. The prayer team's up here if you'd like to receive prayer.